I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're not recording that.
Jeremy Saunders,
are you
Brian Stever, and Taylor McGilvery of the Sick Boy podcast from Antica's Podcast Network.
Did you really just do that? Like, is that...
That's how we do that now.
That's how that's happening.
Okay.
Guys, first of all, I guess we're going to throw it to today's episode, but today being Sunday, because we release these on Monday, 2 days ago, if you're listening to this Monday, confused yet?
Stop that.
But if it's Thursday and you're listening to it, then this is recorded on Sunday, which is like four days ago.
We had a really big night last night and it was the premiere of our documentary. That
I'm feeling hungy today.
Yeah, I'm hurt.
Hungry?
No.
Hungy.
Hungy. Hungy.
Hungy.
Hungy.
Is that the new like lit?
Yeah, dude, it's like turn.
After you get turn and or lit,
you then you throw hungy. Chundi and then you feel hungy.
Yeah.
Are you guys hungy AF?
I'm hungy AF right now. It's setting in. I think I'm just sobering up now.
But I want to before we throw it to this week's episode, we wanted to just say a huge, huge thank you to everybody who was involved in putting together the Sick Boy documentary that premiered this weekend at the Atlantic International Film Festival.
AKA
Finn.
Finn.
Dream Street Pictures, Rick and Tim, two amazing producers. This whole thing wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Rick kind of coming forward and bringing forward the idea for the doc. Andrew McCormick, or Andrew the Camera Guy, as most people who listen to the podcast regularly have come to know. He's an incredible, incredible filmmaker, and he really did a fantastic job in telling, I think, a really touching, like, beautiful story. And he made me look very handsome, I think, in a lot of those shots.
Yeah. The editors did a lot of work on that. it was a pretty surreal experience.
Paul McCurdy, the cinematographer.
Corey Sewell.
Amazing guy.
Peter for editing.
Yeah. Peter Giffen. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Peter Griffin.
Yeah. There was a lot of people behind the project that were awesome. And, we just want to thank everybody for that. It was a really surreal experience to be there in a huge packed house. We love all you, all of you.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, so here's the thing. It premiered at Finn, the Atlantic International Film Festival. It's going to air on CBC. So we had a lot of people be like, well, when can we see it? So it's going to air on CBC October 15th. Which I believe will exist online and, you know, on the network as well, like CBC network.
If you're in the States,
download a VPN.
Yeah. Get a VPN for Canada or, you know, like when you're hungry, I do this anyway, I'll forego eating. Like, you know, if I'm hungry when I wake up in the morning, I'll like wait a couple hours and try to get real hungry before I go and eat, 'cause it's extra satisfying. So if you're in the States and you're really aching to see this, maybe just cross your fingers and
starve yourself
for some Sick Boy documentary. And hopefully will be watchable in the US somewhere in the future.
Cool. Guys, this week's episode is really exciting. There was a lot of visuals that we wished you could see while we were recording, but
there'll be some visuals on the website and on our social media.
Yeah, maybe we'll put something up on Instagram today. This week's guest, very, very special one. Let's just throw it to it. I hope you enjoy it.
Is this our youngest guest ever?
I believe it is. Yeah. We dive into that in the show.
Sweet.
So we hope you enjoy it. We love y'all and see you on the other side. Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Danielle. She has a mast cell and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Let's talk about it. But what I feel like people are missing, thank you, Aaron. I feel like people are missing so much right now is what our guest is wearing. And like, for sure, 100%, you can hear it in the background. We're going to put a picture up on our... Yeah, definitely don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
We just ruined a computer last night by pouring stuff all over it. But our guest today, Danielle, hello.
Hello.
Is wearing a full-on medieval... Can you just be with the conversation for a minute?
I am, yeah. Full-on medieval
armor outfit. An armored suit. What do you call this?
It's just, you know, armor. You've got your tassets.
Tassets to cover up the
groin.
The groin area, yeah. The bits.
And then you've got the chest plate. You've got pauldrons, helmet, and all of those. They're men-sized.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's everything is huge.
Yeah.
It looks heavy as hell. Like, it's made out of pure, like, what is this? Just steel?
Yeah, it's steel. Some of it, I think, is iron, and it's got some, you know, waterproof brushing on it.
So my first question is, were you prescribed this because of your illness?
No, I was kind of, you know, warned against it. But when I saw it, I went to Quebec, and I'm like, wow, I fell in love with it. My eyes lit up. The guy there, he was like, welcome home.
That's so funny. Like,
you
it's...
guys, if I wear this helmet, you hear that I'm talking through the helmet.
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you talking through the helmet.
So it sounds a little bit muffled, or?
It sounds it sounds like you're a little far away from the mic.
Does it sound like I'm a knight?
It sounds like exactly like you're a knight.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this the entire episode.
I really wish that people could see it. If you want to see it, go over to our Facebook or our Instagram. Actually, go to our Instagram. Follow us for sure. And then just take a look at what Daniel is wearing, because it's so insanely badass. And when you applied, Danielle, to be on the show, you were like, I'm really into LARPing, and I have a full-on, like, I have a whole bunch of armor. And I was like, wear that shit for sure. And, of course, you did, and I'm so happy that you did. But more importantly than that, what are we here to talk about? You have everything.
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff.
List off all the things you have going on in your life.
Okay, I've got mast cell activation disorder, which is, it's suspected, but I've got all of the symptoms of it. I've got adrenal insufficiency, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I've got asthma, sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea.
You know, and, well, there's probably other things, but I forget.
Yeah, I think ADHD was on the list. GERD was also on the list.
There you go.
There was a couple other things. So you're dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
I guess my first question is, you know, out of all the list of things that you said there, the one that I have no idea what it is and I've never actually heard before was mast cell disorder. Is that?
Yeah.
Mast cell activation disorder.
What is that?
Well, you've got these cells in your body that react to things, and they're called the mast cells. So you come in contact with an allergen, they release things called histamines, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I've got it backwards.
No, I think you got it right, because when you have an allergy, you take antihistamines.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And histamines make you, like, they make you flare up.
Swell up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I guess it's different for everybody.
Yeah. So these cells are, you know, everywhere, all over your body. With mast cell activation disorder, they'll basically activate over anything. They're like drama queens.
Oh, so you're like, so you, in other words, you are allergic to... And everything?
Just random stuff, yeah.
Whoa.
And like allergic to random stuff at any particular time, and then any particular time you might not be allergic to that stuff?
Exactly.
Whoa. Like, what?
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, you could have a peanut right now, and you would eat that peanut, and maybe today you eat the peanut, and it digests, and you feel great, and you go on through your day, and you've got a little more energy because you had a peanut.
Yeah.
But then tomorrow you eat the peanut, and your body's like, what the fuck is this? And, like, panics and freaks out.
Basically.
Whoa.
That's it.
Is it more like airborne, like allergens that are in the air, or is it like straight up stuff that you eat or like pets that you pet? Because I love petting pets.
Honestly, it's anything. It seems to be a lot of, you know, air allergens and also things that I eat. So eating for me, you know, I can have tomatoes or, you know, spaghetti gluten free.
Why gluten-free?
Because I'm allergic to that now.
Okay, right.
So would you be celiac, or is that just part of the mast cell? You're not necessarily celiac, you're just sensitive to gluten because of the mast cell.
Yeah, just sensitive to gluten, probably because of the mast cell. Not celiac, you know, by any stretch. It's not that sensitive.
Right,
just,
okay.
So yeah, and then, you know, another day I'll have the same meal and I'll feel like shit the next morning.
Yeah.
I'll wake up and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Just to eat.
Right. Are you allowed to swear?
Yes. Don't worry, I'm allowed to swear.
Danielle, how old are you?
I'm 17, 18.
You're 18?
Am I 18 or 17? This is what happens. I forget
When's your birthday?
September 10th.
What year?
1998.
You don't have that many.
Oh, so your birthday's like next week. Your birthday's in a week.
Yeah.
You're 18 next week. Yeah. Or are you 19 next week? No, you're 18 next week.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would, if you were turning 19 next week, you would know.
I think you're our youngest. Yeah. I think you're our youngest guest. So, well, happy birthday in a week.
Thank you.
And I was making a joke. Are you allowed to swear? I was trying to bring up the fact that you're probably one of the youngest guests we've had on the show.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So at 17. You have this whole host full of illnesses that you're dealing with. What kind of effect does that have on your social life?
A pretty big effect. I don't really have a social life.
Right.
A lot of the time.
Growing up, were you the person that stayed home from school quite a bit?
Yeah. Quite a lot. Not as much as you'd think, but, you know, I'd have these things happen and I wouldn't know why and, you know, just feel bad.
Right.
Well, I mean, if we're going to jump into social life, I mean, you wearing this armor, that must be a part of your social life. I mean, is that like a community that you spend a lot of time with?
Absolutely. I had the armor first and I wore it to this event. And,
explain LARPing for a second for like people. I mean, I know what it is. We all know what it is. But for anybody who's listening who doesn't really know.
Okay. LARPing is short for live action role playing. And you basically dress up in whatever costume you want. You know, usually it's fantasy role playing kind of thing. And you actually, you know, get to bash each other with foam weapons. And it's a great time. So
cool. Yeah, it's basically like Skyrim, but in real life.
I feel like in pop culture, if anybody's seen the movie Role Models, this was like, have you seen Role Models?
Yes.
I mean, LARPing was like a huge theme in that movie that went along with the some of the kids that they were hanging out with. And I feel like that was where I knew about, that's how I learned about LARPing. I had no idea what it was until then. After that movie, then I started seeing people around Halifax, like on the commons in Halifax or in Dartmouth, doing it. And I'd be like, they're LARPing. And I had no idea that was even a thing until I saw that movie.
Taylor and Jeremy, have you guys ever taken part in a live action role play?
One time in Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was one time in Ottawa and I didn't have, I was telling you guys before we started recording, but I didn't have the gear, so I borrowed some from somebody that was there. And it was one of the most fun experiences of my life because it mixed physical activity and like fantasy video games, which are like two of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's like paintball. You know, like the reason why paintball is so fun is like if you're someone who loves a really good first person shooter video game, and then you go to a paintball outfitter and you
feels like you're playing the game.
Yeah, you're playing the game. Like it's you're in it. It's super fun. Now if you're someone who loves, you know, Skyrim or you grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons or like that is you're doing it in real life. It's the paintball version of RPG, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
It's super, super exciting, super neat, and so really fun to watch.
Yeah. So Danielle, how did you get into LARPing?
Oh, well, gosh, that was like, 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago. I ended up, you know, I think it was at this event I went to, and no, I was on YouTube one day and I was looking at all these videos and I'm like, oh, what's this? This looks really interesting. What's LARPing? And I went to it and it was this complex storyline and I'm like, oh my gosh. And they had, you know, these people actually doing combat and such. And I'm like, that looks really fun. And so I, you know, I looked up LARPing and I'm like, oh, we've got something here in Nova Scotia. So, you know, I contacted them and I went to my first event and it was like one of the best days I've ever had.
And did you take part in the event that day or were you just kind of a spectator?
I took part. I actually, I think I dressed up as some sort of a dark elf or
that's so sweet.
And, you know, whole painted face. It's great. Just the dressing up portion of it is also like just a cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, it's kind of two questions that I have.
Yeah.
One is all the armor that you wear and the wardrobe that goes with it. Is this like a cumulative process? Do you get like a piece here and there until you like eventually complete your outfit, or do you have multiple outfits, or do you get it all at once?
Oh yeah, this is cumulative. I had, you know, the helm and cauldrons for the longest time, and so I just sort of accumulate more pieces as I can as they come along. So
when you slay one of your enemies, do you pick up the shit that they're wearing and take it with you as a trophy?
You're not allowed really to do that.
What is except, this bullshit? Come
except,
on.
Well, you can loot them though.
Really? There's looting. There's a looting system.
You do get some pretty good loot.
Oh, okay. How does that work?
I loot in Assassin's Creed.
Fuck the sickness podcast. We're starting a LARPing podcast. Yeah. This is the first episode.
Like, you basically just say, I loot you one, I loot you two, or, like, check for loot, and they'll just give you whatever they've had on them, like, you know, maybe it's gold, maybe it's this mysterious gemstone that you need to defeat Dagothor or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Man, guys, can we get into it?
Yes.
Can we get into it?
Go to a LARPing event.
Well, okay, so here's a question, and maybe we'll go back a little bit in a second here to talk about, you know, your life with this plethora of illnesses, but when you decided to get into LARPing, especially when I meet people who have like more than one thing wrong with them, you know, I feel like the stigma attached to that is that you are, oh, you're a weak human, you know, you're a feeble, weak person, and like we want to kind of keep you in a bubble, and we want to make sure that you don't like don't touch that peanut because you never know, and don't touch that dog, and we want to make sure that you're like safe, and hey, you have Ehlers-Danlos, so like don't strain yourself, just like walk slowly. and so, you know, I'm assuming this, but did you grow up with this sort of sense that people are a little more hesitant in, you know, in allowing you to do the things that you want to do, whether that be physically or, you know, extracurricularly or in any way like that?
Well, actually, growing up, I had no idea I had all of these things. And, you know, I wasn't diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome until I guess I was 12 or 13. And even after that, you know, my mom, she'd make a concerted effort to, you know, help me do the things that I want to do, you know, not keep me in a bubble. And I never really got any of that, so to speak. But there are certain things now, like the mast cell, the adrenal insufficiency that popped up later on. But even though that, you know, became a thing, and, you know, potentially preventing me from doing these things, it's still, I never really grew up with that sort of, like, keep you in a bubble stigma.
That's good. Do you get that in the community that you play in? Like, are people a little more sort of hesitant on, like, wailing down on you with a foam sword?
Actually, yes. Which, it's not, like, you know, a very dramatic change in the combat system. It's more like, you know, just don't, you know, hit the kidneys or anything, right? And
that's probably why you have pretty badass armor, though, right?
Oh yeah. Sometimes I'll wear this. sometimes I'll wear, you know, if it's summertime, this is, like, way too hot, even with a bunch of ice packs underneath.
What is that? What you do? You put ice packs underneath?
Oh yeah.
That's like Tour de France style.
Oh gosh. Look, I go with maritime heavy armor as well. In this, waterfront walks, a lot of the time, you know. A few times I did that in the past in the summer.
So hot.
I find that when I was looking at LARPing and looking at the meetup spots that they go to, it's usually like these wooded kind of either forest or field areas.
Yeah.
Do you have any issues with, like, allergens in the air when you're outside there?
You know, most allergens aren't really in the woodsy areas that I have. Mm. Really allergies to those. Usually it's actually better for me to be out in those areas rather than, you know, around the city with the, you know, the fumes from everything. Mm. So
take us through, like, a day in the life of Danielle in terms of living with all of these ailments. Like, what's a really shitty day for you?
A shitty day is if I've worn C-bands to bed, which, you know, they're supposed to prevent nausea, and I wake up.
What's a C-band?
I'm actually wearing one here. This, it's like a pressure point deal here.
I've never seen that before. It's like a black wristband with almost like a point on
it. Looks like a sweatband, except really thin, you know, like those body break, like something you'd wear to to your aerobics class.
Yeah. So yeah, shitty day. I wake up and I can't eat. And I can't move. And maybe, you know, I'm on the toilet for like an hour. And
just, like, just blasting out shit or just sitting
sometimes
on there?
Sometimes just, like, shitting myself.
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, just trying to lay on the couch and, you know, not focus on it. And then needing an ambulance because I start, you know, shaking and I can't talk and I'm in the washroom again.
Whoa. So
nothing's happening and I'm just dehydrating.
So this is all from, you know, I mean, we spent a good chunk of time, like, kind of, like, happy-go-lucky talking about, you know, LARPing and having fun.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, but for real, I wake up in the morning and this shit really affects me to, like, through every literal cell of my body.
Yeah.
So you were saying that Ehlers-Danlos is kind of secondary to the mast cell and the adrenal insufficiency. And, for anybody who, I'm sure we're going to touch on everything. We did an episode on Ehlers-Danlos. It was episode 68, about a year ago. The adrenal insufficiency, what's the main reason behind, like, this morning you're describing, getting up and being on the toilet, not being able to move and being sore? And is this a mix of your, like, what the mast cell is doing with allergies? Is it your adrenal insufficiency and, like, your energy levels?
Absolutely. You know, the mast cell can trigger everything. If I come in contact with an allergen, or, you know, maybe I'm sick with something, and it's still a mystery why, you know, my body dehydrates so quickly in those moments.
Hmm.
But then I start, you know, needing IV fluids and IV, you know, Solu-Cortef, all of those things. And I also forgot to mention, and it's kind of important, I also have postural orthostatic tachycardia.
Is that your heart?
Oh, right.
It's to do with heart and blood flow. So, you know, at night I'll be playing, you know, World of Warcraft or something, and blood will start pooling, you know, in my hands and feet. It's kind of uncomfortable, but I'm like, okay.
Do you swell?
Yes, there's yes, there's swelling, and there's also, you know, classic description. You stand up too fast, and
right.
all the blood goes down, and you feel like you're gonna pass out, and you have to sit down again. Mm-hmm. However, oh. you know, also triggered by really hot temperatures or, you know, cooler temperatures. Just general fucked up blood flow.
Yeah.
I can't help but think of how inconvenient that would be when you're trying to be on like a raid, or you're going through an instance and you're you're like working with a group of people and your guild members are like, why the fuck are you not moving right now? And you're like, it's because I'm about to pass out and my blood is pooling in my hands and feet and I can't do anything.
Yeah, and for anybody who doesn't know, that's World of Warcraft talk.
I didn't play much World of Warcraft, but maybe a little reference that some people might get is in that instance, you'd be the opposite of Leroy.
You would not be Leroy.
You would not be like Leroy Jenkins.
Who's Leroy Jenkins?
Leroy Jenkins!
He just aggroes a bunch of people and it's a pain in the ass.
Dude, a bunch of people?
It is one of the funniest like internet videos, like that's very old. Like OG YouTube, like has been around for a long time.
He's a legend.
Yeah, legend in the scene. I've never played World of Warcraft, but I'm very familiar.
But you're very familiar with Leroy Jenkins.
He's pulling a bunch of guys, messing them up with his AoEs, dude. It's crazy.
Okay, Brian, that was a little bit fast-paced for me. I have no idea what you just said.
Danielle, do you follow?
I understand you.
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's why you're speaking your own language.
That's why I've given up tanking and healing.
All right.
So good.
All right, they're...
You know, and I'll be like,
I was trying to figure like
wowers.
Yeah, wowers. Thank you. I was like, what's a word?
Be right back. I gotta go die. Gotta go die a bit.
The way that you're talking about this, Danielle, like you're describing what a day in the life of you is, and I'm going in my head. I'm going, that sounds awful. It sounds horrible. Horrible. Like it sounds like the biggest pain in the butt. Yet you talk about it with such, you're so blasé about it, or you're just so okay with it. Like you're in the way that you discuss it. Yeah. And for someone who's 17
or 18.
Or 18.
Honestly, I've got really bad brain fog this morning. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But for someone who doesn't know how old they are,
I'm going to do the math on that.
And they're 17 probably, and like maybe 18 in a week. I find that super fascinating because when I was 16 or 17 or maybe 18, I don't know, I had a really hard time talking about my illness in such an upfront manner. Like I would get really weird about it. Where do you think that comes from? Like, is it?
Oh gosh, I've had to explain it to, you know, so many medical people, my friends. I'm like, oh yeah, I've got this and this, and if this happens, you know, just cart me out and maybe call an ambulance, maybe not, make sure I'm not dying. you know, it's a day to day thing that I just deal with as it comes along. I know exactly what to do mm-hmm. for each scenario. You know, if it's really bad and I'm like, maybe I'm vomiting or, you know, shitting my guts out. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to, you know, need an ambulance, or, you know, I take, you know, precautions. And mm-hmm. it's become easy to talk about because that's just my life, basically. Mm.
Do you have those days where it's like you feel like just giving up?
Dude, you're turning 19.
Oh yeah, I'm turning 19. Thank you.
Hey, sweet.
I was like, I was thinking about that, but because when somebody else tells me that they're like maybe 17, maybe I'm turning 18, I was like, man, I think you're 19, but I don't know. But you said not 17, so I'm like, I don't want to fuck this up.
Yeah. You know better than me.
Dude, I put an age calculator on Google. Fucking, can you imagine that you need that?
It's really common for me to, you know, just forget, you know, my age or what day it is. I'm like, what day is it? Like, what year is it?
I mean, shit, you're turning 19. Like, what's
That's a big age.
With all the shit that you deal with, I mean, like, you mentioned that you try to stay away from gluten. Is, like, having a beer or a glass of wine, like, even a
I'm
thought for you?
I'm allergic to alcohol.
Like straight up all alcohol.
Like, I had, like, 0.5 milliliters of some limoncello my mom made because I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And I didn't get a buzz or anything. I just passed out on the couch for 4 hours. And when I woke up, my mom's like, do you need an ambulance? And I'm like, no, why? She's like, you've been out for 4 hours. And I'm like, I feel like shit.
You know what? Wow. Blessing in disguise, to be honest. I wish I was allergic to alcohol.
There are days where I go, I wish I didn't do this. Oh, yeah.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Right before Taylor said that, Jared, you asked a question that I'm really curious to know the answer to. And that was, do you ever have those days that are really hard or difficult to deal with?
I do have, you know, like, I know you said, you know, do you ever feel like giving up?
Yeah.
Mm. Honestly, no. Because I know, you know, despite all of this, it's bullshit, frankly, that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's still a lot to, like, you know, a lot to live for, a lot to keep me going. I've got a lot of support. I've got a lot of goals and aspirations that I think, you know, either way, whether my issues can be, you know, lessened in the future or not, I'm going to strive for them.
What are your goals? Yeah. Like, yeah, what do you strive for?
Like, one day maybe I can, you know, one of my dreams is like, oh, I'll go jousting or something. And a lot of people are like, oh, you couldn't do that with your joints. Another thing.
Does it really matter? Because if you get hit, you're like,
you're fucked anyway.
I mean, yeah. Whether you've got a connective tissue disorder or
honestly, I think it's an advantage. Because I just like bend back, right? Elastic bend, girl.
Yeah. You just like snap your head off the horse's ass and pop right back up.
you know, I've dislocated my neck bone before instead of broken it.
So. Oh my God. Whoa,
what
really?
Was that like? Dislocated your neck bone?
It was mostly just so uncomfortable, and I'm like, I feel like I should get this.
Did it look super gnarly? Like, was your neck just cranked over to the side?
It was a tiny bit swollen. It was one of the bones or cartilage in the front. But,
I feel like the question I want to know the answer to is, how did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I just fell into someone's shoulder, and
oh my God,
it was completely my fault. I basically just tripped over a door frame, and I'm like, oh. And I made this really awkward gagging noise.
Oh, there goes my neck.
And then I'm like, maybe I should go to the hospital, but I really want to do this new content in World of Warcraft. And then I'm like, okay, but it went back in on its own. So I'm like, okay.
What are some of your, you know, it's not all the time. It's very infrequent that we get to sit down with somebody who isn't already like full on into their adult life. Like, what does all this stuff do in terms of like any impediments or lack of impediments? I mean, depending in, you know, like academics or like, I know sports is probably, a pretty challenging, aspect. Like, you know, what do you, you know, outside of like LARPing, that community, what kind of floats your boat? What are you curious about?
Well, you know, I had to give up a couple of things actually as I went along. Originally I was training to be a professional opera singer.
Right. Yes. I remember reading that in your.
Yeah. And, so then there was this procedure. They're like, oh, you have to come off of these antacids. And cause there were like polyps or I don't know.
Right.
They're like, this can become cancerous. Stop taking this drug. And I'm like, okay. And then I couldn't sing after that.
Because you needed that drug to basically make your voice or to clear something up that would impede your voice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, basically. So then I'm like, okay. And I was lucky enough that I could do art, and that's something I'm really interested in. And and you know, like coding and computer work, I also really like.
You have an art gallery up right now, don't you?
I do. It's
or, an exhibit.
You know, part of an exhibit up now. It's right. Like, yeah. That's actually, I'm actually going to take it down today. But there's a few pieces that are staying permanently, which is like super cool. And yeah, it's crazy. It's right at the hospital, actually.
Tell us about it. What's behind all that?
Well, mostly I started to do art about the pain I was having. First, you know, the joint pain, with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and then other symptoms of my disability. And then, you know, I get more broad and more focused into that sort of subject. And I'm like, I think it would be a really good idea to kind of show the community and whoever else is watching, what it's like to be living with disabilities, you know, chronic conditions that really don't have a cure. And so with the help of my mentor and, you know, one of my pain doctors and my family, we put together this exhibit, and it was received really well. And I couldn't think of a better spot to have it, really, right in the pain management research area.
Oh, cool.
Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Pain management.
What's a medium?
Everything, really. You know, there's oil paint, acrylic, ink, watercolor. There's chalk pastel, clay. And, you know, and at home I also use, you know, metal. I've made ring mail before. It's,
oh, that's cool.
I was actually about to make a joke that you're like, there's a black. I do blacksmithing.
Maybe one day.
Enchantments on armor.
Oh, yeah, I could enchant your sword. That little blade can barely cut butter. Skyrim reference.
Was any of it up for sale? Like, was it? Did you sell any pieces?
Yeah, I sold actually most of the show, which was a huge surprise to me. And I wanted half of those proceeds to go towards the art program there.
That's awesome.
Because I find it, you know, really helps. It helps me anyway to sort of externalize all of those symptoms and, you know, put them onto paper, and then, you know, you've got them out of your system, so to speak, and you can sort of analyze them and share that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fascinated with, like, your ability to be involved with so many different things and mostly just to be, like, a totally normal 18-year-old kid, I guess.
18, yes. 11 months and 25 days.
Or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Because I think oftentimes when we think, and with a list of all of these disabilities that you have, it's wild to think of that you're so involved with all of these different things and how they don't really limit you in anything that you do.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's easy. It's easy to feel limited by them, you know. Half of my summer was actually eaten up by just being in the hospital for these. I had a bunch of reactions to these drugs I was given, you know, first a sedative, then, you know, nystatin, which is just a regular old whatever, then some random IV medication for nausea, and that made me feel like I was just going to die right there in the hospital. I'm like, oh my God. And no one's, like, you know, really coming in to help. They're like, oh, we don't know what's going on. So,
That sounds terrifying.
You know, it's the Department of Emergencies, not really mysteries.
You know, and I do mean that, but also I guess at the same time, you are talking about these stories of you, obviously it sounds like you're a frequent flyer in the ambulance. Is that true?
They should give frequent flyer miles. Ooh. Yes, that's true.
Because like at one point I'm thinking like you do so many different things and it sounds like there's a lot that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And yet still it seems that you're also spending a lot of time in the hospital and trying to figure out what's going on and
yeah, like,
going through all of that as well.
You know, one day I could be really, really active and do my LARPing and a bunch of artwork. And then the next day I could wake up and paramedics arrive and my heart rate is like over 200.
Jesus.
Sitting down. So that's happened before.
Do you like how many times have you been in the ambulance this year? Do you know?
Oh, probably 4 or 5.
Do you have to pay for that every time?
Yeah.
Oh man. Whoa.
Yeah. And actually, I think one day it was my mom and the paramedic. He usually is there every time I need an ambulance. And he's like, oh, I see how it is. We're changing it up.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
4 or 5 times this year. So in the past 8 months.
Yeah.
You've been in the ambulance 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's pretty crazy.
I've been in one once in my life.
I've never been in an ambulance in my life.
I don't remember ever being in one.
Brian was drunk.
But Brian, you were.
Brian was drunk in one.
What would be the scariest moment you think you've ever faced in terms of dealing with all of this?
Honestly, that time I was in the hospital just March. June or July, I forget. Honestly, I was off like really early because of, you know, reduced course load and all that. So all of this started up like right after a procedure I had after I was off of school. So definitely that time I had, it was called a dystonic reaction.
Dystonic reaction.
Yeah. And it was also paradoxical. So I was given this IV medication for nausea, which, you know, it's supposed to reduce your nausea. And instead it made me feel even more like I was just going to puke my guts out, even though there was nothing in them. And, you know, it felt like my skin was just burning up and I couldn't stop moving. And dystonia, it like your muscles start to sort of tense up and seize up. And that was starting to happen in my neck. And they couldn't figure out why. And it was just hours of just laying there. And feeling on, you know, death's door kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I feel like that was the scariest moment of my life.
Were you literally thinking in that moment that, like, you could die from that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was very scared in that moment.
Did it last long? Was it a long...
It lasted for a while, like 5 or 6 hours.
And then, was that a part of the... Was that, like, your mast cell? Like, were you having a...
Yeah.
Dude...
Yeah, I'm basically allergic.
Sick boy bingo, Brazil.
Yeah.
That's what I was at. That was what happened to me.
Well, you had a...
skin was burning up, and I couldn't do anything except for hold my muscles. I wasn't tensing unintentionally. Yeah. I was intentionally, like, gripping my muscles because the sensation of my skin was so intense that the only way to deal with it was to basically flex every muscle in my body.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, and what else was it? Yeah, so basically I ended up, you know, falling asleep because it was late. And then we got up at 3 a.m. and they're like, oh, you've been discharged. And I'm like...
You're like, what? Yeah. I need to stay.
What? Where am I even?
I could barely just walk out the door. So, yeah.
At 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
I'd be like, can I... Like, stay for the night and just keep sleeping?
Can I just get a good night's sleep, yeah, at least?
Yeah. Is it cool if I leave at, like, 6?
And then, you know, it really sucked after the fact, too, because I couldn't eat almost anything. Like, I was on Boost for most of my meals for quite a while. Because my stomach just couldn't take anything.
It's, like, the same as an Ensure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Boost and Ensure are like the same thing, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I drink both.
So what, like, in terms of your food, I think we kind of already touched on food, and you said, you know, you were talking about tomatoes and gluten-free and pasta and stuff like that. But, I mean, is that, How annoying is that? Or is it something that you're used to now, like having to be super picky about what you eat?
I mean, I'm pretty used to it, but it's pretty expensive and it's really annoying. I'd rather just not have to eat, honestly. That would make life.
Do you ever hear of Soylent?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I wonder if that Soylent Green.
Have you drank Soylent before?
No.
It sounds horrendous.
Is that something that you can like just drink and then totally live off of that and not eat anything?
The idea is this company made this thing called Soylent, and it's a drink that you know, according to them, you don't need anything else. You can just drink. Insane. You can just drink this drink.
I've heard it's disgusting.
Vice did a piece on it, and they said it didn't taste horrible, but it also wasn't amazing.
Yeah,
it was just kind of like, well,
would you be like okay with a pump and a feeding tube that you just have to that you just wear on your back?
Probably, but not permanently. Like that's in the way
that's
like
very steampunk. Very steampunky. You know, if you put that into like a really like a tin sort of looking jar that runs on your back and it's got some like cranks and cogs that run and
it would just have to be loud.
Pump steam at
gosh.
And you would have to wear goggles.
That would be I'd be down to see you do that.
Not for him to do it himself.
Can you like when you go to restaurants, what do you do?
Or do you go to restaurants?
I don't go to restaurants often. I can have like sushi.
Oh, that's really good.
Because I do like Japanese food.
Guys, I've literally eaten at a restaurant the last like 8 meals in a row.
Oh, I haven't eaten at home once in the last month.
And it's so enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got HelloFresh and actually it was really good. And thank you HelloFresh, because I actually made a bunch of my own food last week. It was really delicious.
My HelloFresh meal
I've been considering that actually.
Yeah, it's great. The last one,
it's pretty good.
I legitimately the last meal I made like 4 days ago was HelloFresh, and it was the beef stir fry. Dude,
so good.
Beef stuff, it comes in like a fresh package, and it looks like it's one piece of meat. You open it up.
Oh, dude, boom. It's already sliced.
It's already sliced.
I know.
For a stir fry.
I know. If you're not familiar with HelloFresh, head on over to HelloFresh.ca.
We're not being paid for that, though.
Not yet.
No. Soon those words will be rolling in dough.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of your experience here with everything that you've gone through, what's the one thing that your illness has taken away from you?
That's a hard one. You know, I was never like particularly into sports or, you know, the big physical stuff. I get exercise
by beating the shit out of people with swords.
That, and you know, because the muscles are the only things holding the joints together. I mean, out of that, it's sort of, I guess, taken away my ability to, it's quality of life, I guess you could say. Because it's completely unpredictable. So, you know, I don't know which days I'm going to be okay, and I don't know which days I'll be fine. And that can take away a lot of like, okay, will I ever be able to live on my own? And that's something a lot of people don't ask themselves. You know, will I ever be able to drive myself around, kind of thing? Or will I start having an adrenal crisis and just crash, or like, you know, have to sit there and just be alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not have, you know, any help at hand. I guess it's taken away my ability to really plan, I guess.
Mm.
Plan for that kind of thing. And like when we were talking about, for example, you know, goals, aspirations, you know, one of my aspirations is, you know, to be able to live alone and support myself and have a job. For a lot of people that comes naturally, or they can, you know, work towards that in a normal way, right?
Mm.
And they don't have to really worry about, okay, well, if I live alone, then what happens if I just suddenly fucking pass out from, you know, blood pressure issues or, you know. So there is that.
What about romantic relationships?
I don't really think about those a whole lot, honestly.
Have you dated?
Not anything I'd consider, like, you know, a few flings when I was really young and, but really, no. It's not been a big focus.
It's not a priority. Yeah. Okay. So on the flip side, what would you say your illnesses have given you?
Oh gosh. Well, actually, when I was training to be an opera singer, I had it's called a coloratura soprano voice. So that's the highest voice range possible, and it's like super rare. And I had that, I believe, because my vocal folds are so stretchy, because that's also connective tissue. And, you know, it sort of gave me that really unique ability to sing stuff like, you know, Queen of the Night or, you know, really high tone things that...
Queen of the Night, it's... have you heard it?
No.
Oh my God.
You know what? I just... I'm not warmed up enough. Anyway, we can do it later. Continue.
Like, can you sing at all now?
Sometimes on a good day. Like,
is today a good day?
Just going to tell you right now, Daniel, these mics are the best studio mics you can buy. So
Selena Gomez uses them.
Wow, did she?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Fun fact, this is the first time I'm going to sing any about in armor.
Yes. Yeah, do it.
I'm not going to sing the whole thing.
No, give us a taste.
Give us a taste, like 30 seconds would be awesome.
I don't even think I have 30 seconds.
That's 30, dude. Whatever you got.
A minute. Okay.
Yeah, go higher, Bri. That's what you meant.
That
was crazy.
That I'm not gonna lie, it was way better than I was expecting.
So is the voice that you were talking about higher than what you just did?
Yeah, I guess I
could. Oh my
guys.
I can't do it right now.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
Can we just cut to that when I'm about to sing?
Just make it seem like that was Jeremy. Jeremy will go. Okay, here we go. Yeah. And then we'll just cut it and make it seem like Jeremy did that.
And then you'll go, I'm not really warmed up.
And then we get Danielle to sing it and we replace it with what I did. And then our reaction is, whoa.
Oh my God.
You're so bad.
Jeremy. Yeah. You were training?
Oh, fuck. That was amazing.
That was absolutely
really
incredible.
Really amazing. And what an interesting thing. So your Ehlers-Danlos very well may be one of the reasons why you have the ability to fill a space with something so beautiful. Like, that is just so incredible.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's given me so many opportunities, even though, you know, my health is unpredictable. I have all these, you know, experiences to share. And I honestly think, you know, I wouldn't be the same person if I didn't have these challenges to work through. Mm-hmm. Because I view it as this, you know, it's a challenge. It's a daily challenge. And, you know, overcoming that is its own reward, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was about to say something, but now I just had a brain fart. So.
I kind of think of that the same, like the same way that like mistakes are an opportunity to learn. Like I feel like challenges are an opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're in disguise a lot. I mean, it's hard to see. Man, I'm so hyper aware now of Sick Boy Bingo. I was listening to, I drove to Cape Breton to on Saturday for a wedding on the way up, I was listening to one of Joe's latest episodes with Brett.
Yeah, let's stop saying Joe Rogan and just call him Joe.
Yeah, Brett Weinstein. Brett Weinstein and that U of T professor Jordan Peterson, who's all up in controversy about the pronoun thing. Yeah. And they were talking about the evolutionary trait or the evolutionary advantage of what Brett Weinstein calls literally false, metaphorically true. So the advantage of treating something that is false as being true, and how the absolute truth and knowing the absolute truth isn't always the most advantageous thing. And use the example of, okay, so if you have a porcupine, if you imagine that porcupine can throw their quills, he goes, literally, they false. Porcupines can't throw their quills. But if you treat it as a truth, you're less likely to go near a porcupine, which means you're less likely to get a porcupine to touch you and then to throw their quills in, and then to get stuck with them, because apparently a porcupine's quills also are designed that over time, if you don't pull it out, they go further into you.
Oh, whoa.
And they're so sharp that if they go too far, they can puncture an organ and all this stuff. So he was like, so treating it as if it can throw its quills is actually more advantageous to you than knowing the absolute truth, which is that they can't, because you're more likely to stay safe. So then they use another example of if you're somebody who is faith-based, and you might be someone who goes, this shitty thing just happened to me. And this is really where my train of thought was going on that challenging part. Then you are more likely to, if you think that everything happens for a reason, you're more likely to look for a good opportunity when you're faced with hardship, because you're thinking the average thing to think in that situation is something bad just befell me. So I need to keep my eye out for the silver lining, that there's an opportunity of wealth that's about to come my way, and I need to look for it.
Mm.
Whereas somebody who thinks that what is literally true, that physics rules the universe and that nothing happens for a reason, then you're going to be less likely to stumble upon an opportunity that presents itself, because you're not looking for it. So in this way, like when a challenge comes to you, being able to recognize that the opportunity that lies like within that kind of layered shit that presents itself as an awful thing.
Oh my god.
You know, that's hard to do, but if you know that if you're looking for it, then I think you're more likely to find it.
Yeah.
Dude, I've always looked at my life as kind of having this equilibrium, and when really, really, really good things happen, I'm like, there's going to have to be something bad to like balance that out. But vice versa, if something really bad happens, I'm like, something really good's going to happen to balance it out, which has its pros and cons, because it's kind of the same thing that you're saying, Taylor. Like when bad things happen to me, I'm like, something good's going to balance it out. But when something good happens, I'm always a little bit hesitant to what might go wrong in my life. And I think that actually comes back to this time in my life where things were going really well, and then somebody who I was really close with passed away. And I don't like saying passed away, actually. Somebody died. And when that happened, I was like, fuck, like life was so good. Everything was going so well. And then this shitty thing happened. Why did that have to happen? And I think it might have been my way of like bringing some rationale to that situation.
Mm.
But I can't shake that. Like, I can't not think of life like that anymore.
Mm. I'm the forever optimist.
The way that I deal with it is if something really, really good happens, I step in and make the bad thing happen on my own terms so that I don't have to worry about it. So like, you know, I get some awesome thing comes my way and I'm like, yeah, this feels great. That exact same moment that I feel great, I haul off and punch myself as hard as I can right in the dick. And then I go down to the ground and I'm like, I'm about to cry and I can barely breathe because my balls have just been like smashed so hard by my own fist. And that's when I realize, like, yes, you stepped in, you made the shitty thing happen. Now you can get it over with and you don't have to worry about something bad.
Now
happening.
The next thing that's going to happen will be good.
Will be good. And you're gaming the system to make sure it's always good, except for that ball punch that lasts for about 5 minutes.
The Sick Boy documentary is about to come out and I'm really stoked about that. So here, just punch me in the dick.
I should have been
wearing plate mail.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for coming in today and chatting with us. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. It was great.
And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back next week, as always, with something fun and interesting and super fun and interesting. Until then, head over to iTunes, subscribe, 100% subscribe if you haven't already. And rate and review. It really means a lot. Keeps us up on the charts there, on the iTunes charts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get at us, you can. We're all over social media. What are we on?
Give us money.
Right. Instagram, Twitter. We also have Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/sickboy. We are, we just got our Patreon payment yesterday, I think. And we are close to our second goal. We're like 75% of the way there. Yeah. So if y'all want to help us out and get us to that second goal of $1,500 a month, y'all be really doing us a favor.
Which helps us actually travel around the country and...
around the world.
Yeah, around the world. Reach more people.
Because we are going to come and record a show where you guys are.
That's right.
Yeah, wherever you are. Wherever you are in the world, we're coming there.
And when we do that, we're going to be wearing our cool clothes that have the Sick Boy logo on them.
Our merch.
Which you can get
that
on our website.
Uh-huh.
And you also, speaking of Patreon, get 10% off if you are a Patreon supporter. And you can just head over to shop.sickboypodcast.com and find all of the cool swaggeroo there.
That is it for this week.
If you're playing bingo, this episode's over, but I'm still going to stick with you.
Until next week.
I'm Taylor.
On the edge of your cup, that will be there forever.
That's Jeremy.
And Brian was here, and this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.